Welcome, Secret Agents, to episode 72 of the Nerdstravaganza podcast, recorded live before a mutant audience. I'm Tom.
I'm Rick.
I'm Brian.
And tonight we'll be discussing Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., the new television show that we all enjoyed recently. But before we get into the topic, let's start things off in our usual fashion with our Geekly Weekly, Weekly Geekly update. Brian, why don't you go first? What have you been up to this past week?
All this talk about Highland last week got me into reading, and I picked up a book called Job, or Job, I guess, depending on how biblical you want to pronounce it. A comedy of justice. Pretty funny so far. It just got into a little preachy part, so I'm hoping that'll end soon. But I was really enjoying it for about 150 pages. Picked up some Borderlands 2. That Community Appreciation Day got me back into that, and I kind of been plugging away at the rest of the quests that I have to finish up on playthrough 2, just so I can get to playthrough 3 and do it all again. And a little Fort Lauderdale event. The Flagler Community Garden opened. The groundbreaking was on last Sunday, so I attended that to support the local community. That was exciting.
Cool. I do hope you have not been playing Borderlands 2 without me, because we have to. We're a team. You can't play by yourself.
Yeah, I meant when we had played.
Okay. I hope so, because I get really mad about that kind of stuff, as you know.
I have it now, too.
Get ahead of you.
You have it too? Great. We got to start all over again now because Rick has the game. Great.
Sorry.
That's all right. We need you to get all the fat loot. We don't have enough people in our party. Speaking of Rick, what you been up to, man?
Well, I haven't been playing any Borderlands 2. I don't have anything to talk about my hymen, or whatever the fuck Brian was talking about.
Lost that years ago.
But I have been... I cracked open an oldie but a goodie, an old addiction, and no, it wasn't a farming game, kids. It was, drumroll please, Skylanders!
Nice.
Yeah, I'm back on the Skylanders kick, man. After playing so much Disney Infinity, I don't know, I had a hankering for it. And I gotta say, Skylanders kicks the living shit out of Disney Infinity as far as gameplay goes.
Really?
Yeah. It's just so smooth and so good, and it doesn't make me nauseous.
No fisheye?
Yeah, no weird fisheye. But, I mean, Infinity's got the long-lasting thing where being able to make your own games and, like, logic and programming and whatnot, it's just... So, you know, I get the fun of playing a game with one and fun of making a game with another. So that's good. And then I got a sweet-ass new video screen in Mutopia on Animal Crossing. So you can check our Facebook group and get my dream number, and you can come visit my town. That'd be pretty cool. It looks just like we're cruising down 192 or International Drive. It's awesome. For those unfamiliar, those are roads right outside of Disney, and it's like tourist trap central, and they have all these gigantic neon, not even neon, just gigantically bright, like the sun LED screens, and I now have one in my Animal Crossing town, and I'm very proud of it.
Does your sign advertise shells? Can I buy seashells at your town now?
Pets and shells, baby. Pets and shells.
Pets and shells.
Because you never know when Jimmy wants a hamster and Susie wants a conch shell. Satisfy them both at Pets and Shells.
There you go. I was trying to do your jingle, your jingle for Pets and Shells justice, but only the originator can do it justice. Yeah,
I couldn't sing it because I was laughing too. I would be laughing too hard. So, so that's it. Just been living in magical fake worlds, and I picked up Ender's Game and started reading that.
Awesome.
Fuck waiting for the movie, because it's probably going to suck, so I'll just read the book.
It's never going to be able to live up to the book, so read it. That way you can be outraged by what a poor job the movie does, along with us.
Yep. Me, you, Brian, maybe we'll get Keith on the show again, because he's the one who turned me on to Ender's Game like a million years ago anyway, so maybe we can get his opinion. He loves to hate shit, too, so it'll be fun.
All right, let's bring it. I love that we're preloading our like show, and like it's just gonna be like a hate fest for that, for the Ender's Game movie.
Make sure you tune in to find out what we really think.
Yeah, well, it turned out to be really good. Yeah, you know, they really captured the essential elements of the book, and you know, I think if I had just seen the movie and never read the book, I would have been fine with that.
Bunch of fucking hypocrites.
Yeah. Oh, wow. I guess that brings it around to me, and I will just say that I have been playing a little more Battlefield 3. I did the co-op missions so that I could get some achievements and as well unlock this super ultra-powerful assault rifle, which has done very little to improve my ability in the game. Turns out, in order for a powerful assault rifle to be effective, you have to be able to shoot people, which is not my strong suit, which is why I'm always a middling player. But I have settled really comfortably into my like 1-to-1 kill to death ratio groove, where I will remain, if I were to play every day from now until the day I died, I'm pretty sure I wouldn't really get any better. I am just not a big FPS master. I enjoy playing them, but I accept that I'm not a pro.
Same here.
Yeah, they're fun. You just, you know,
you guys suck.
I like to think if I was like 12, I would be really, really, really good. But I'm a little older than that, so no.
You got me beat. I don't play him, so.
Yeah, we got you beat. Yeah, you got served. Don't mess with Rick and I. We're pros compared to you. We'll pwn you. People still hate pwn? I don't think so.
It's Rumble Stomp these days, isn't it?
Rumble Stomp! I like that.
Is it? All right. Apart from that, I've been playing a little more of the 3DS, the Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon, which has continued to be fun. I'm going through and finding, I'm like replaying levels to find like collectibles that I missed before, but it's fun. I enjoy playing it, so I don't feel like it's like a chore. And playing some more of the Street Pass games, I really feel a sense of accomplishment because I cleared the fiery room in Find Me Too. I figured out how to put out this blaze that was causing all of my heroes to run away in terror. And if anybody wants a pro tip on how to pass that, I'm happy to share that.
Do tell.
Let's just say you might want to recruit some old heroes of sufficient level. And when confronted with a fire, water tends to help.
Okay, so a pretty obvious solution then.
Took you a while to figure that out, huh?
Well, I was just like letting my heroes, like, I don't want to think. Just come on, beat the guys. Because, you know, those games are pretty simple for the most part. But no, after getting wave after wave of my Street Pass heroes turned back, I'm like, all right, I'm really gonna get past this.
I'm waiting for a white-shirted hero to help me out.
Just hire one. Just hire a cat, man. Don't fool yourself.
You never know. You never know what you're getting as far as heroes go when you hire one.
That's true. Well, it's just as likely. Well, yeah. I wonder what the probability is of meeting a white hero on the street versus hiring one that's a cat. These and other deep questions to be pondered on the Nerds Extravaganza podcast, episode 72. I just realized how absurd that probably sounds to somebody that has no idea what we're talking about.
I know, sorry guys.
Just hire a cat, man. They're good.
But I spent so many play coins and I never get a white shirt cat. What the fuck are these idiots talking about?
Let's see, apart from white shirt cats, ain't no white shirt cat gonna help me out of this little predicament. My laptop has been giving me performance issues, like giving me like the spinny, well, on Macs it's not an hourglass, it's a little spinny rainbow thing, which is not something that it really has ever been doing. It's been doing that to the point of becoming unresponsive, and then like when I go to boot it up, not finding the boot volume and stuff. I'm like, oh no, I think my hard drive's going. So I use a little built-in diagnostic tool and it said, yeah, hard drive failing. So it's on its way out. So of course I'm looking around, I'm gonna replace the hard drive. And it occurred to me, why just spend a little bit of money to replace a hard drive with one of equal quality and capacity when I could spend a lot more money to get a solid state drive so I have the awesome performance upgrade that comes with that. So I went on to the Amazon, ordered the solid state drive and an external drive so that I can, you know, basically clone my bootable disk, and got all that, or I got the solid state drive delivered today, and I will have the external drive hopefully tomorrow, and this weekend will involve me replacing my dying drive with a cool, fast, lightning fast, I should say, solid state drive. And one more interesting little tidbit about that, I took advantage of something called Amazon lockers, which, if you're not familiar with what those are, they are actually little lockers where you can get your Amazon packages delivered. You go there, you punch in a little code, and the door opens up, and it's like very Star Trek-y.
What?
Yeah, and you just pull your package out. They deliver to that. There's one right at a 7-Eleven near my place. So I just walk over there, and you know, they email me the code, punch it in, my thing opens, and there's my package.
They actually offer same-day delivery on that, don't they?
Yeah, I think I ordered it Wednesday afternoon, and yeah, got it today. And then my other piece is coming tomorrow. So yeah, I think they offer shipping specials on it, but yeah, I don't even think I paid for shipping. Actually, yeah, you know what? I don't even know what my shipping costs were. I think they were none. So I don't know if that had to do with my choice of the locker or not, but it's a pretty cool thing. I don't know if we have them down there in Florida yet, but I hope so. It's actually kind of cool. If you're not home and you want it delivered somewhere safe and central, pretty cool program. And that pretty much concludes my update. So speaking of lockers and things that have nothing to do with them, we decided to dedicate this show to our viewing of the new television program, Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which is based on the S.H.I.E.L.D. organization, which is and guys, correct me if my Marvel lore is off. It is a human-run organization that is basically dedicated to harnessing / containing emerging superhuman and or mutant powers on Earth, right?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
So there's a central character in the show being Agent, what is it, Coulson? Is that his name?
I don't think there's a T.
Coulson, then?
I think so.
People remember him from the Avengers movies. He supposedly died, but of course now he's back. And they explain that as him having been almost dead. And so in order to get the Avengers to unite in the Avengers movie, they told him that he died so that they would get all mad and like do the right thing and beat back the evil alien invasion. But it turns out he was just in a coma, and now he's back, ready to lead S.H.I.E.L.D. to glory.
Is that
or
what happened?
Or is he?
Yeah, exactly. That's the big if, because he remembers things a certain way.
He remembers Tahiti, but apparently Tahiti isn't real.
Yes, he remembers his convalescence took place in Tahiti. So he says that, and then one of his coworkers scoffs. That's what he remembers? He can never learn the truth.
Never.
It could, you know, what is it? Was it an implanted memory? Is he a clone?
It was a Bacta tank named Tahiti.
Oh, man.
Hey, didn't we see that in a Schwarzenegger movie? Not the Bacta tank, but Total Recall was like that.
Yeah, we saw it in Total Recall. Yeah, it could be. I mean, so there's no telling. He could just be a clone with implanted memories. Who knows, but he can never know. And it's going to be so sad when he finds out.
It won't be sad when I find out, because I'm on pins and needles, baby.
Are you really?
Yeah, I really want to know cool. What the fuck happened.
Well, I wanted to start things off before we delve more into the episode with your impression. You know, I wanted to get your guys' sort of feel for the show, and then we could talk about it, and then see if our opinions change. But it sounds like, at least Rick, you're already on board with the show.
Yeah, I do have a tiny bit of problem with trying to separate the characters in this show from other shows that I know them from, like the main hot chick who's a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent that was also in the movies. I don't know what her name is in the show or the movies, but that's Robin from How I Met Your Mother. And then Agent Coulson is Richard from New Adventures of Old Christine.
So you're getting actor overload. Like you can't accept that there are new roles yet.
Yes, there's a lot of blend over. But I love that Agent Coulson guy's shtick. Like, he's just badass in the movie and in the show. I liked it, so it works.
I wasn't sure, because in the previews leading up to this, they let it be known that he was around. So I was like, I wasn't sure if this was some kind of a prequel series or what, but
right.
I like it better that it's concurrent. I'm not a fan of prequels, because I don't know. I don't like revisiting recently dead history, I guess.
Yeah, don't change what I already know.
Right. What about you, Brian? You got any feelings about it?
I like the first half a lot better than the second half. The first half, obviously it takes place after, but it really just kind of had like a sequel feeling. Like, I kind of like bought into the, holy shit, I'm watching Avengers 1.5. And then the second half was like, oh no, they're going to do everything to tease it along and make commercial breaks and get me watching next week. And that kind of left a little sour taste in my mouth.
Yeah, I am going to watch, but I'm not.
That's my whole problem. I would have watched anyway. You don't have to tease me into it.
Find out what an 080 is. In 10 minutes.
I didn't get that impression. I mean, I got the, like, to me, it felt like it ended very much like a comic book.
You know what? That's a fair comparison, but it also kind of strengthens my argument, because comic books do that shit all the time. You gotta buy 5 other issues to know what's going on in your one series.
True. Did you guys notice that car he was driving, the Lola car, was the car that Tony Stark was showcasing in the Captain America movie?
Oh, that his like granddad was showcasing or whatever?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I didn't. That's cool.
Good pickup.
That's It had like the first GPS system. That makes sense that it's a Stark Industries product, doesn't it? My only reservation about the show, I'm on board. I'm going to watch it. I guess that there was, Brian's right, there was that element of teasing and getting you to watch next week. I guess you're not going to be able to get away from that in a TV show. But another thing I think you're not going to get away from in a TV show is budget constraints. And I'm a little bit worried that after the grandeur and majesty and amazingness of the movies, and I had the same worry about the live action Star Wars television show that has been threatened for years, you're going to be disappointed by what TV can offer. Like, they're not going to be fighting well-known Marvel villains with amazing superpowers, and like, you're not going to have these epic battles. Instead, I'm really worried about them chasing after like cheesy like TV villains with minimal powers. Like, oh, the Flim Flam Man has struck again. We've got to stop him. You know what I mean?
I didn't even get the sense at all that they were going to be doing any kind of like finding superheroes. To me, it just looks like heroes with a Marvel skin on it. And I'm fine with that. Like, it's about the daily workings of the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and what they do to work as this liaison and go-between of the crazy world and keeping us safe from that in our regular world. And if that means, like, I'm intrigued by, I still don't know, like, is S.H.I.E.L.D. really good? Isn't it just, like, a point of view? I mean, Darth Vader's good if you're on that side. You know what I'm saying? So yeah. It's like, and they made that point where he's like, oh, well, we're just protecting them and isolating them. You know, these, I don't remember what they call.
Gifted.
Yes, the unregistered gifteds or something like that. So, you know, they make it seem like they're taking the high road by protecting them so that they're not used as a weapon and they're not dissected and all these other things. But really, we all know that they just end up manipulating them and using them for their own good anyway. So to me, it felt like this whole show was going to be kind of like a Men in Black and Hero mashed into a Marvel skin. I'm not worried about the low budget thing.
I would say that if you threw in an element of CSI,
yes,
you pretty much got the formula. Yeah.
Oh, can I bring up a little something about CSI since we're on the subject?
Sure. Are the actors in this movie too?
No. You know the little scene where the forensic guy let out all those little droid drones?
Oh, yeah.
And did you guys catch the little Disney nod when he's like, hi-ho, it's off to work we go?
Yes.
Okay, well, did you catch the actual nod to Disney in this? If you looked on the screen that he was looking on, the names of the drones were named after the Seven Dwarfs.
Oh, that's cool. I know one of them was called Bashful,
yeah.
The one that discovered the object of interest. So, okay, yeah. I didn't pick that up, though. That's cool.
Yeah, it's Disney throwing their own little two cents in. I like that.
Cool. Well, I'm looking forward to other Disney hidden Mickeys in the show, too.
Definitely.
Like a villain called Cruella or something. That'd be kind of...
Yeah, these are actually five-legged goats. Shout out to Communicore. Communicore Weekly.
So, Brian, apart from the teasing, Rick doesn't seem to share my concern about budgetary constraints. What's your opinion on that?
I think you have to manage expectations. What really made me worry about it was the split second shots of the Avengers that they showed in the beginning when they were talking about the Battle of New York. And it was like the cheesiest, quickest, like, look, guys, don't spend a lot on this kind of montage. But I don't think it hurt anything. I mean, yeah, you could kind of laugh at it a little, but it didn't affect the story, and they got it over with. And the effects were cool. Those little floaty robot drones were cool. The gun was cool. I thought they did a good job with all that. I don't think it's hurting them.
Yeah, it wasn't movie-quality special effects, but they were passable, and I was okay with that. Even the flying car was like, well, that's actually not that bad for TV. I'm kind of surprised. I don't mind a few CSI episodes if they're intriguing. I just don't want them to be like Battlestar Galactica from the 70s, where you were seeing the same space battles taking place over and over, or the Star Wars Christmas special where they just ripped Star Destroyer scenes from the movie or something, you know?
I kind of agree with Rick that it's going to be basically a an NCIS or something instead of like an actual like Marvel superhero fighting. And that probably, I think that'll work out well for it.
Yeah, their SHIELD's going to be dealing with, I mean, they'll have their role to play in the movies, but these agents are out on the street dealing with sort of lesser mutants and so on and gifted. As long as the Flim Flam Man and other such second fiddle villains don't show up, I'm okay with that. It's the mad accountant, margin of error. Oh no, we have to stop him before he unbalances the stock exchange books. Oh no.
That would be
they had their
so
hands
awesome.
They had their hands full fighting a fucking teenage hacker, so maybe we won't ever see superheroes in it.
That's what I'm saying. And what do they do? Do they just go around and like collect everybody, friend or foe? It's like, I love that part where the chick was like, you know, the guy's like, hey, do you want to, you know, the offer stands. Do you want a job with us or whatever he said? And she's like, dude, I just hacked into your fucking secret SHIELD lair from my van. So, yeah, it was a little ridiculous. I liked how they kind of took those like on the chin. Like, yeah, we know some stuff's cheesy, but what the fuck? It's TV. Live with it. Yeah.
It's a comic book. I think Rick nailed it. They do crazy shit like that just for laughs in the comics.
Right.
I'm also okay for the first time in a long time with quote-unquote hacking and computer experts who can seemingly just work magic, because it's explained that like all kinds of new technology is just floating around everywhere for anyone to get a hold of. So I'm assuming she, the hacker woman whose name completely eludes me,
hot girl.
Has access. Hot girl. Okay. Hot hacker girl. Has access to such technology, and that coupled with her natural genius has allowed her to hack into these computers and so on.
That's going to be the brilliance of season 3 when you find out that the laptop she won in a bet was actually something that Chitauri dropped during the invasion.
Oh, you're right. By the way, yeah, you raise an interesting point. I wonder if we're going to hear more about this laptop she won in a bet, because as we know, nothing's ever mentioned just accidentally in a television program or movie, right?
Right.
I won it in a bet with Thanos.
Right? I think overall I liked it. It felt like I was watching a movie. To me, it felt like I was watching a movie.
Yeah, it fit well with the movie. They made enough reference to the movies, and I wonder if you think we'll see cameos of the like Avengers stars here and there?
No.
No budget for that?
All they showed was like a cardboard cutout of Captain America's shield. I think that's all we're going to get.
Dude, the fact that it's called the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I'm telling you, it's Men in Black and heroes mashed up. That's what it is. That's what we're looking at here.
They throw, Morton Downey Jr. or whatever, like, a $1 million he doesn't show up for an episode.
Yeah, I don't know.
They would, but I don't think they're going to spend the money like that.
He's not too good to be on TV. He's been on TV plenty.
Yeah.
Maybe just around the launches or something like that when the movies come out.
Yeah, dude, just throw a little, come on, throw us a bone, get a little cameo. While you're on set filming for the movie, just film like some lines like, yes, I agree.
Did you guys like when they talked about, when they ragged on cosplay whores?
Yes, that was great. I was actually thinking about, like that's how mainstream things have become now, where cosplay is something you can talk about in a primetime show.
Right? It's crazy.
Yeah. I never really thought I'd see this day. I mean, we always had like comic book shows growing up, but I don't think it's never been primetime.
Well, yeah, Incredible Hulk was primetime back
actually,
in the
day. That's true. And wasn't Wonder Woman as well?
Yeah.
So I shouldn't say that. I just feel like we're reaching a critical mass now, but it might just be my perception, you know?
It is weird though, because this didn't have the feeling of a lot of these other sci-fi shows, in the sense of it didn't feel very niche-y or however you want to say it. It felt mainstream. Like the whole build-up before it came out, it's like every goddamn person and their brother on Facebook was talking about it. Like I have a bunch of different circles of friends on there, and like everybody was talking about it. It wasn't just like a certain sect. So I think you definitely have a point where it is a little bit more mainstream and acceptable now, even though it's been done in the past. I don't think it's been done in the past with such open arms.
Yeah. And I think the fact that you've got it, it's backed by Disney helps a lot too.
This is the new Lost, I'm gonna call it.
Yeah,
I think so. I think they're gonna try for that. I think it has that kind of like potential to be character driven and interesting, and have enough like side shit that you want to know the history of and want to know like what that number means and all that. Yeah, I think that that's what they're going for. This is going to be a mainstream market.
You might be onto something.
With a lot of what do they call it? Coffee room chatter, coffee table chatter.
Yeah.
Water cooler chatter.
Yeah, I think you're potentially onto something there, Brian. I mean, for example, I am very curious now to know about this whole Tahiti thing. You know, they hooked me with that like right away.
It was funny because that's all I could think about the whole goddamn episode until they came up with that 084. And then I was like, oh, man, now I want to know what that is. It's like, okay, well, at least it got me. I stopped thinking about Tahiti until
the laptop got me in immediately, dude.
Yeah, there's so many like little hooks. I thought it was badass. I liked it. It was way, way better than I thought it was going to be. And you know what, dude? I don't know S.H.I.E.L.D. from my asshole. Like, it's not something I've ever followed. So it's pretty much brand new to me. And Avengers was never something I followed or really knew about until the movie came out. So it's all brand new to me. And this TV show was more interesting to me than the Avengers movie was. Don't know what that says, but I said it anyway.
Well, here's a question for you. Since we're talking about an Avengers setting, am I breaking Marvel rules by referring to people with superhuman powers as mutants at all?
Not as far as I'm concerned.
It's allowed per Nerdstravaganza rules.
Yeah.
If we're going to call them mutants, we should point out that Iron Man's not a mutant. Thor's not a mutant. It's not accurate. We're nerds. We got to be accurate.
No, you're right. Actually, Captain America is only powerful because of the super soldier serum. The Hulk is a...
Hulk might be
Gamma radiation. He was mutated by gamma radiation.
But he's not homo superior, is he?
No. And they haven't, even in the movies, they haven't blended the Avengers and X-Men stuff at all, have they?
Uh-uh. Not that I'm aware of.
It makes one wonder whether these are mutually exclusive.
I prefer mutants over superheroes. So I like mutant superheroes, I guess. I like X-Men better than Avengers. Just let me say that, I guess.
Okay.
I don't know how to break it up, but like for me, like I never like dug like Batman and shit because it's like he's a dude. He might as well have been Charles Bronson for all I was concerned. He was just a vigilante. So I never really liked him. Superman, I just thought was lame. And then Spider-Man was pretty cool, but I guess he got bit by a spider, so he mutated. I always thought the Hulk was kind of cool, but he got gamma radiated and mutated. So I don't know. I like mutants.
I'm with you. Yeah, we might have to bring on a comic consultant to get us to understand, you know, where everything fits in the Marvel universe. But
there was a Marvel role playing game ages ago, and I think it was four categories. I think it was aliens being, I mean, obviously not Marvel, but like Superman and you know, people who had extraordinary powers on Earth, but were just kind of like that's their race, you know, technological wonders. So, like, Iron Man, probably Captain America, because that was science that did him up. Straight up, like, mutants. And I don't remember the fourth one. Oh, gods, deities, Thors.
He's technically not a god, huh?
Have you been close to his arms?
Oh, that was zing. Wow, that was a comeback that I didn't quite... I don't remember that guy. I mean, he's in good shape, but are his arms that great?
He wields a mighty hammer, bro. You never seen a carpenter?
That's true. He has the mighty arm of a hammer-wielding god.
You know, Tony Stark's another one. I always thought Iron Man looked badass. But when I found out that it was just a dude in a suit, I lost all interest.
Well, it's a genius dude in a suit, and he's integrated with his technology.
But I'm saying, like, in my youth when I found out, I no longer cared. And it was like the cheesy Tony Stark with the fucking mustache and stuff, so he looked like a porn star. And I just wasn't having it. I was like, I don't give a shit. But then when the movies came out and it was like, you know, he was like just this rich, crazy guy. I mean, I think he's better than Batman because Batman just hires motherfuckers to build his stuff. Like, Tony Stark builds it himself. So I like it much more now, but he still has nothing on Machine Man, who actually is a robot who thinks he's human because he was raised human.
I never really... The Machine Man, Iron Man comparison just never really occurred to me until now, so that's why I'm laughing. So let me ask you guys this. Do you think this show will succeed and carry the ball forward where Heroes failed? Because I'm as jazzed about this as I was when I first saw Heroes. And Heroes was like, oh man, I can't wait to see more and more and more. And then it just completely fell off a cliff. Do you think because it's a Marvel backstory, it's got some movie tie-in, and it seems like they're already writing in like a bunch of hooks this early, it'll do better than Heroes did?
My initial fear is that it was going to peak and then just completely fall flat on its face like Heroes did. I mean, I went from a show that, like, I could not physically in my stomach, could not deal with the weight from episode to episode, to not giving two shits if it was on or not. I don't even know what happened at the end. I didn't even finish watching it. Because it just,
I never found out why that guy cut his hand off in the first fucking episode, and they never mentioned it again.
I never got past the thing with the turtle.
I never got past the Nissan Versa that they kept talking about for three episodes in a row.
Right? So I got afraid that that's what was going to happen with this as well, because it has that potential. But then I started thinking, like what you're saying, it's got so much backstory and history. This shit's been going on forever. They have tons of stuff that they can pull from that's already, you know, whether it's canon or just history or existence or whatever. They have a big pool to choose from. Whereas Heroes, it just kind of felt like they couldn't think of new shit to write. And in this, all the shit's already been written.
Yeah, I agree with you, actually. And just based on the cast of characters we've been presented, not even reaching out into the broader Avengers universe, I'm intrigued by a lot of the characters' backstories. Like, I want to know why that one lady doesn't want to go in the field anymore. I want to know more about the two genius kids, Fitzsimmons, as they're known collectively.
Mm-hmm.
I do want to learn more. I want to know more about like the killer sniper guy. I want to know more about the hacker girl and why she joined, what was it called? Rising Tide or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I want to learn more about these people. And even if this wasn't set in the Avengers universe, so far, at least, the characters seem compelling enough that I want to learn more about them.
I think that's how they're going to go. I think this is going to be more of a crime drama than a comic book series. And I think that's why it's going to do well.
This is like something that they can't do in one of the Avengers movies, but it can definitely help feed it and fortify it. It's history and it's just breadth of existence. And it's something that they can't do in a cartoon. So to me, it's a perfect television show fodder. 100%. I'm in 10,000%. I fucking loved it. I really, really... And this is from somebody who's like, oh, the Avengers movie. I'm like, eh. But this? Hooked.
All right. So, Rick, you're definitely down. I'm definitely down. Brian, you definitely down?
Yeah, I'm in. I'm watching.
And you know what I like about it? It's that I'm not like, fuck yeah, that was fucking awesome. Like, I don't even know what it is I liked about it, but I was like... Me and Kim looked at each other when it was over. It's like, God damn, they got me. That's a good fucking show.
Yeah, it just drew you in. Yeah. And the lack of cheesy villains so far.
Yeah.
Call in the aquatic squad. The loan shark and his goons have been breaking kneecaps down by the docks. Like, you know, I don't want that happening. All right, I've been loaded. I have like a whole list of cheesy villains I thought of to bring up during this show, so I'm sorry.
No, they're awesome.
Well, cool. I'm glad we found an interesting show to follow. I don't know that it will top Heroes of Cosplay or...
Revenge of the Nerds.
Yeah, what was that called? Not Revenge of the Nerds.
King of the Nerds.
King of the Nerds. Thank you. Yeah. No, I'm pretty sure it'll top both of those shows. And I'm looking forward to discussing it going forward. I think we found a winner in this show, and I hope we can expect great things from it in the future.
Yep, and it never hurts to be able to talk about mutants versus superheroes, comics versus movies versus television. We covered it all today, baby. All of it.
Well, Brian, come on. You got to put in with something cool.
No, Rick kind of said it. We covered it all.
All right, I agree. Call our smartest agents. The know-it-all has struck again. He goes by the name Rick. There's nothing you could possibly know that I don't already know. I'm going to destroy the research industry around the world with my
I'm Google man.
I'm going to put Google out of business because I already know everything you could ever look up on Google. Google man. Oh no, the Yahoo has struck again. He's attacked a Google data center.
Y'all wanted some information?
Remember me? I had a cool like yodel back in the 90s. Yahoo! No, don't do it. Don't do it, Yahoo. Speaking of tech, though, here's a tie-in.
Will they both be thwarted by the Netcrawler?
From the planet Lycos, the Netcrawler comes to Earth. No, you think they're going to do an Oracle tie-in? You think we're going to have some Oracle Net lookups? Remember that from the movie?
That'd be interesting. I don't know. They got you.
Call Larry Ellison. This calls for the Oracle Net. Some sweet product placement. I'm looking forward to it.
I was actually surprised we didn't see any product placement. I was expecting to see some, and if it was there, I didn't catch it.
I didn't see any. Not even a
I do want to go out and buy a really fugly van.
Do you? Was it?
No.
Oh, I thought maybe there's a new line of vans coming out by Chevy. They were trying to.
No, her van was just hideous. I don't know what kind it was, but
it was like a used dog groomer's van painted blue purple.
I want a C-17, which is the type of aircraft they were basically showing, with a bunch of needless fins and extra like wings and stuff on it,
and a badass logo on the top. You have to admit that was cool.
That was really cool, actually. The plane was cool, but one sort of technical thing I noticed, I could never tell if the plane was if they were in flight or if they were on the ground. I guess you weren't meant to. It just seemed like it was always sunny and bright in the plane. They were just always hanging out talking.
Yes, and when the back trap door was opening at one point, I was like, what are they going to do? They're going to like open it up and it's going to like fall out with a parachute.
Yes, that's what I thought.
And they weren't even moving. I was like, where the fuck are they parked?
They just backed that thing out onto like Flatbush and took a drive.
That was my only disassociative moment was that. And I kept wondering, I'm like, where the fuck did they put that big ass plane?
Right. Like I thought, thank you. I was not, I guess, you know, and again, they'll just hand wave that away. Like, yeah, they landed and whatever. But yeah, I was kind of like, I thought they were still flying around and then suddenly they weren't. I wanted them to parachute that plane down that vehicle out of the plane.
Well, they had to have done something, and the reason why it was bugging me is because I remember a couple weeks ago when me and Brian were playing Edge of the Empire, we couldn't get our pilot to fly the ship into a residential area because it wasn't allowed, but then maybe a half an hour later, all of a sudden it was allowed, so.
Retcon! I can't wait to see what's allowed next episode.
Exactly. It's like you fucking see the plane. It's like parked in front of Starbucks and they're like kidnapping that chick out of the van again. Another thing I thought was weird, I never knew what city they were in. It's like they're in fucking London or France or some shit. Then they're in New York. Then they're in Pennsylvania. Then they're in New York again. I was like, where the fuck is all this taking place?
I know the crescendo was definitely in Los Angeles because they were at Union Station in Los Angeles. That's the only place I was definitely sure where they were. But I thought they were in Brooklyn.
Then why did that guy have a Pennsylvania license?
Which guy?
People travel, Rick.
He drove there from I don't know why.
But he couldn't have driven there because he was looking for work with his son.
At a factory. I didn't know Los Angeles.
And he went back to his factory where his boss was and hit him with a canister.
That part was badass, by the way. That whole scene was cool.
You know what I thought was really cool? The fucking first fight with that agent guy. When he hit him with the drawer and they started beating the shit out of him through the drawer. I was like, fuck yeah, this is going to be a good show.
Actually, yeah, we haven't even spoken about like the superhero bits of it. That whole thing with the you know, reluctant gifted person who he may see come back as a hero. Hopefully, I liked him. That was awesome.
He's going to jail for murder. I mean, they can't just murder. Oh wait, you were evil mind control drugs. Sure.
The factory guy. It just said he beat him up. They didn't say he killed him.
He's
I don't know how, with
super strength in the head with a giant
propane canister. That guy's dead.
I thought so too, but in the like the news outtake they were like he committed an assault before causing a lot of damage, so they didn't say he murdered the guy, so I guess he just kind of
that that guy can't be a hero because he just had some stupid implant on his arm.
Right,
the,
but here's
the centipede virus thing.
But here's the thing: they figure out how to neutralize the explosive properties of the centipede, and in so doing, they fuse it to him in such a way that it's now part of his body, and he has to, as long as he's in sunlight, he has the power. There you go. There's his restriction, and his name is Renewable Man.
I'm glad you're not writing it because I wouldn't be watching it again. If that guy comes back, I'm done.
Renewable Man, and he's a crusader for renewable energy and solar power.
Okay, well that's okay. He can have a spinoff show on Sunday mornings.
Oh no! The fracker is trying to get natural gas out of the shale rock. I have to stop him.
So, and that was the other hook that we forgot to mention. Like, there's the people who are basically, how they put it, taking every superpower known to man, putting it in a blender. We don't know who's creating that yet. So that's another good hook.
Yeah, that seemed. Now, I thought that was very interesting. They basically are taking, yeah, right, every sort of supernatural element, and exactly, like putting in some kind of a serum and then attaching it to people with these devices. Now, I hope that doesn't mean that every villain we see has one of these like little centipede things stuck to their arm.
It might be for a while until they catch him, and then we got to figure out the next guy.
I don't mind if those like centipede juiced soldiers are a recurring thing. But I want them to sort of become a background element. I don't want it to be about, oh, I've got one on each arm. I have double the power. Ooh.
Right. And I also liked how it was a tie-in back to the super soldier serum for Captain America.
Yeah. And then they say the metal was like extraterrestrial in origin, too, or something like that.
Yep.
Attack. Yeah, it was kind of cool.
All the Chitauri that got knocked out of the sky, you'd think there'd be chunks of that stuff laying all over the city.
I was under the impression that that's what the alien metal was, but then they would have known what it was, so maybe it's not.
Well, how soon after the battle is this? Maybe they haven't analyzed it.
They said it was within months, I thought, wasn't it?
I felt it to be super recent because even in that comic book window in L.A., the comic book store window, they had the Heroes of New York, and that's where they had like all the characters set up and stuff.
And those were like brand new on the market toys, right?
Right. And they were still advertising it in the window, so it must have been fairly recently.
At the beginning, didn't that one agent find an artifact of theirs, like a transmitter or something? A Chitauri? Was it Chitauri? Am I saying that correctly?
I don't know who it was, but yes, they found something.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that. There's probably... And actually, they say S.H.I.E.L.D. went in and kind of cleaned the whole aftermath of that up very quickly. But you know some of those elements had... some of the power from those elements had to have fallen into the wrong hands, too.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Man, I want to know more. Let's just stay on the podcast till next week. Just talk about it.
Well, we've already ended it twice, so.
Well, I'll tell you what. Three times is a charm. Unless you guys have anything else to say about the show, I think we can all give it our solid recommendation for our listeners. Check it out. Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I think has the makings of a winner of a show.
Agreed.
Yeah. We'll be watching it for a long time, I bet. Everybody will.
Good. Well, speaking of a winner of a show, I'm sure you've come to the conclusion by now, dear listeners, that this show is a winner. It's world-beating, and it's going to be here as long as Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., if not longer. And our audience will probably, who am I kidding, it'll eclipse anything on TV. But you can get in now, early, when we're little known, and curry favor with us by subscribing to us on iTunes and writing us a favorable review and giving us 5 stars.
And if you don't like the iTunes, you can hop on over to www.nerdstravaganza.com, where you can download the show, stream the show, rate the show, email, all kinds of cool stuff.
And you can join us on Facebook. That's facebook.com/nerdstravaganza. Like our page, join our cool insider group, and watch for Twitter updates.
All kinds of cool stuff.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what else you can do?
Uh-oh.
Mm-hmm. Here it comes.
You can listen on the Stitcher.
Oh, yeah.
Stitcher's now sponsored by the Hulk. Endorsed by the Hulk.
Endorsed by the Centipede Corporation. Makers of the Centipede video game and those cool little glowy things that go on you to give you superpowers. No, seriously, if you're into the streaming, I've actually been listening to a lot of podcasts on Stitcher lately, and I recommend you give it a shot. If you don't have a reliable pod catcher, or you just basically want to be able to tune in as though you're tuning into a radio, Stitcher is pretty cool.
They have a pretty app.
That they do. And with that, I think we are out of here. Nerdvengers, assemble. Is that our assemble sound?
Sure.
Cool. Fire up the jet. Let's get out of here.
It's either that or Voltron got a boner.
I didn't know Voltron could get a boner. Wait, does he get a boner? Does each of his lion parts get one?
I've seen things, my friend. I've seen
things. Oh, man. Goodbye.